This is The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
They're running a strange program, y'all.
Now, here's Frank Morano.
This is The Other Side of Midnight. I'm superstar Frank Morano. Thank you for listening. Of all the things that I've seen on the internet over the years, you know what I've never seen? Maybe about 20 years ago, I did see a video like this because I was editing it, getting the audio for a radio station I was working at the time. I've never seen one of the, but not since then, with the exception of that one situation I just mentioned. I've never watched one of these videos that are online of someone being beheaded or having their, you know, head chopped off or being murdered by a gang of terrorists or anything like that, because I don't want to see it. There's so much death and destruction out there. I really don't need to intellectually understand that someone's been murdered. For me, I don't need to see the video of them being murdered in order to understand it. Well, this is an issue right now because in Australia, they had this horrible stabbing on April 15th. Have you heard about this? Very sad situation. Bishop Mari Emanuel was stabbed during a church service live streamed from Sydney last Monday. And he's a social media star with followers around the world, but he's also a divisive preacher. So dressed in dark robes, clutching a large cross and sporting a bushy gray beard under a black cowl, Emmanuel's sermons from the Assyrian Christ, the Good Shepherd Church, range from homilies on the Bible to fiery criticisms of homosexuality, COVID vaccinations, Islam, and U.S. President Joe Biden's election. The 53-year-old bishop, who has a popular youth following on TikTok, was awarded by YouTube in 2023 for hitting 100,000 subscribers, has been a target for criticism, hate, and online trolling. And last Monday night, a male teenager stabbed him and other worshipers with a knife during a sermon at the Assyrian Christ, the Good Shepherd Church in Western Sydney. Footage posted online showed the attacker criticizing Emmanuel's comments about Islam while pinned to the ground by the congregation. Police said on Tuesday, the following day, that it was a terrorist attack motivated by suspected religious extremism. And, you know, this is a terrible situation. And in some sermons posted online, the bishop questions parts of Islamic theology, and in others, he stresses love and his love for the Muslim community and how he regularly prays for them. In a recent post, he expressed support for Palestinians in Gaza. Okay. So, a whole bunch of clips of this have made their way on Twitter. And Elon Musk, the owner of Twitter, yes, I know it's now called X, has made the decision to leave this footage up there. Now, I happen to think this is the right move. And again, I feel like every day there's a different twist on the same argument that I support free speech, and then everyone says, oh, no, free speech is okay, but not that. Free speech is fine, but not that. Free speech is fine, but not that. And this is the same thing. I think Elon Musk is absolutely right to leave this video up there on Twitter if people want to watch it. You know who's not going to watch it? Me. I don't want to see people stabbed. But if people think it's important to see, if people want to see this terrorist attack being carried out on this bishop and other members of this church, I think they should have the right to make that decision for themselves. Well, This is going over like a lead balloon in Australia and around the world, quite frankly. An Australian senator said yesterday that police feared Elon Musk's decision to ignore a regulator order and leave footage on his social media platform of this bishop being stabbed might encourage people to join terrorist groups. An Australian court has upheld a regulator order for the billionaire to take down posts containing footage of the April 15th stabbing of the bishop during a service. What do you think? Should Musk? Well, I want to be very clear. The regulators in Australia say he's got to take this down. Musk is ignoring them. He's leaving it up. What do you think? Do you think Musk should take the footage of this stabbing down, or should he leave it up? And if people want to watch it, they can watch it. 800-848-9222. It will not surprise you that I am in the camp that thinks he should leave it up. If people want to watch it, they should be able to watch it. I'm going to play for you a portion of the audio of this stabbing, just so you know a little bit of what we're talking about, at least from an auditory function, not a visual function. I know this might be emotionally jarring for some people and kind of disturbing, so I'm going to give you sort of a five-second warning if you want to turn down the volume or don't change to another channel, but it just turn down the volume for 8 seconds and then come back. So 5, 4, 3, 2. Okay, you've been warned. This is a little bit of the audio that's on Twitter right now of this stabbing. I haven't even seen the visual of it, and my thanks to Elias for editing this. That's graphic and scary as it is, just hearing the audio. Is there a value to Elon Musk holding this up, putting this up there? Even if there's not, should he be able to? I'll tell you who doesn't think so. Australian Senator Jacqui Lambie. She said that by keeping these violent posts online, online globally, the Australian Federal Police had, that's basically their version of the FBI, had told the federal court Musk's platform, X, created a risk that the video could be used to encourage people in Australia to join a terrorist organization or undertake a terrorist act. Here's a little bit of Australian Senator Jacqui Lambie saying that Musk is not just irresponsible, saying that Elon Musk should be thrown in jail.
I don't know, whatever Elon Musk is on, it says that that's okay to continue to air that is absolutely disgusting behaviour. And quite frankly, the bloke should be jailed. And the sooner that we can bring rules in or do something about this sort of game playing with our social media, the better off we're going to be. But quite frankly, the power that that man has, because of that platform that he's on, it's got to stop. It has absolutely got to stop.
The AFP declined to comment. Musk overnight escalated his fight over the court order to remove the video post, saying Lambie should be jailed, meaning that's the woman you just heard from, and suggested the country's gun laws were meant to stop resistance against its fascist government. Australia's e-safety commissioner had told Twitter to remove the footage of the stabbing, which police say was religiously motivated and over which they charged a 16-year-old boy with a terrorism offense. After X challenged the order, the federal court told the platform to remove the footage temporarily. X has said it will fight the order, and at another court hearing on Wednesday, the company's lawyer said the bishop who was attacked had supplied a statement that he wanted the footage kept online. Keep that in mind. The bishop wants this footage kept online. The owner of the platform wants it kept online. And yet the Australian government says it should be taken down. What do you think? 800-848-9222. So you have Musk saying that, Lambie should be in jail for censoring free speech. He called her an enemy of the people of Australia, and he is now widening his attacks, Elon Musk is, on Australia, including promoting a post from an unnamed Twitter user, which said the country disarmed all of their citizens in 1996 so that they cannot resist their fascist government. A reference to a gun buyback and registration scheme after the country's worst mass shooting. Musk responded with an exclamation mark. So this is a big issue all over Australia, but I really think it's a big issue all over the world. And I think in some respects, it's the issue that we keep having over and over again, but we've never had it this prevalent. In Brazil, they have, in the United States, they've banned TikTok. That's a little bit of a complicated situation because of the Chinese ownership, but it's still a TikTok ban, as you heard the head of TikTok. In Brazil, they've banned Rumble, and now they're poised to ban X or Twitter. In Australia, I think this is going to be headed towards a Twitter ban. And I just get really concerned when platforms get restricted in entire countries for the kind of content that they're showing and allowing. My view is allow everything. Allow everything and let people watch whatever they want to watch. Let them listen to whatever they want to listen to. And, you know, it's a little bit different in terrestrial radio because they're the people's airwaves. But I remember there were all sorts of people that were upset at the things that Howard Stern would say on terrestrial radio. They would get outraged. They said this was filth and radio pornography. And you know what I would say is, then why are you listening to it? Just change the channel. And I remember there was one episode of The Drew Carey Show. It might be the only episode of The Drew Carey Show that I still remember. This is the sitcom that Drew Carey used to do in the 90s. And there was one episode that Rush Limbaugh was on, and I was a fan of Rush, and you know, it's probably the only reason I remember it. And Drew Carey's boss, I think it was his boss or someone in authority position, is all worked up about internet pornography or some sort of obscene content on the internet. And Rush Limbaugh comes out, and she was a big fan of Rush, this lady. And basically tells her, look, I know there's a lot of stuff on there that people may not want to see, but I don't want people making decisions about what I can and can't see, because pretty soon they're going to make decisions about what I can say on the radio. And that's my view. I don't want to watch videos of people being stabbed or police beating a man to death or any of the gross stuff that's become viral over the years. But I respect the people who do want to watch it and want the option of watching it. 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. What do you think? Let me begin with Vinny in Brooklyn. Hi, Vinny.
Hey, yeah. I want to say that I agree with you in the sense that people should see and be able to see what they want. But on a very public thing, that's poisoning society. It could be like, if I want to see people stabbing people, it should be very challenging for me to have to find that kind of material, because you could pollute impressionable minds who are just looking at things for the first time, and that impression will be a lasting impression. It should be available, like you say, but very difficult to find. You would have to really be a hater want to see such violence to be able to find that.
But what
stuff.
About it what the bishop is so saying here, Vinny, that he wants this available for people that want to watch it?
That's pretty crazy when it's so public for everyone, because people will be influenced. I go to movies. And I see upcoming movies. I just went recently, and I see the upcoming movies. There is just violence and killing.
Right, but that's the point.
Vinny,
you're not going to ban violent movies or violent movie trailers, are you?
I think people who want to see that in movies can see it. because it's just the movie.
Right. So I guess I'm having a difficult time understanding the consistency of your position. So you're saying that, you know, violent movies are okay, but violent reality, that should not be permitted to be shown.
I don't think violent movies are good at all. I don't think it's what people want to see.
All right, Vinny. Let me get some other folks to weigh in here. And look, I don't like this kind of violence. I really don't. I have a son. I would much rather him see nudity, for instance, in a movie than violence. And yet, when they make ratings for movies, they give a much freer hand to people getting killed and blown up than say a breast. If there's an exposed breast, even though half the population has them and a good portion of the rest of the population has seen them, forget about it. Rated R. But if there's people being killed, shot, assaulted, blown up, you could still get away with a PG-13 rating. I think it's totally inconsistent. I think war and violence is much worse than nudity. But my point is, even though I don't like the violence, why shouldn't you be able to see it if you want to? Why should the Australian government be restricting what Twitter users in that country are able to see? Jackie Lambie says Elon Musk should be arrested.
I don't know, whatever Elon Musk is on, it says that that's okay to continue to air that is absolutely disgusting behaviour. And quite frankly, the bloke should be jailed. And the sooner that we can bring rules in or do something about this sort of game playing with our social media, the better off we're going to be. But quite frankly, the power that man has, because of that platform that he's on, it's got to stop. It has absolutely got to stop.
Listen to it. Listen. Oh, he's got so such a big platform, the power that he has. He's got to be stopped. What do you think? 800-848-9222. Robert in Pearl River. Hi.
Hi, Frank. Yeah, I mean, these things are horrifying. I've seen them. There was one site called Conjunction Sumption. I think that's what they call it. Beheadings and everything. I'm one of those guys who likes to see things because I want to see it for myself and evidence, even though a lay person and many capacities, but also I don't want to turn a blind eye. I'm not one of those persons who says to myself, I don't want to see that, that's horrible. I want to see what happened. I want to see what these evil people are doing. And it's not like, you know, you're getting your rocks off of looking at them. There's reasons why people want to see it. And some people have those minds.
Yeah, this whole debate went on during the Eric Garner video when he, you know, died, in what folks said was a chokehold when they were trying to arrest him. This went on with the George Floyd situation. It was a whole debate about, and there was people that said there was a lot of value in these videos being seen. And I think maybe the bishop thinks maybe there's some value in this stabbing being available to people. So you agree with me, Elon Musk should be able to keep it up if he wants to.
Yeah, much worse. I've seen Nick Berg. Remember him? He visited another country. He was working in another country as a technician, and he beheaded him. The father went, "Hey, this is it's all Bush's fault." Beheadings, horrible things I've seen. But I watched it. I watched it till the end. A lot of them were, you know, Al Qaeda type things or ISIS. But yeah, I mean, I just don't like. I know there was one FBI
censorship.
Report.
It's censorship.
Right. There was an FBI report of a woman who they're working with international law to find her. What she does, she makes videos and steps on animals. Internet, like rabbits and things like that. Right. And, you know, it's like people want to know what the hell is this person doing? You know, maybe they could figure out, they could recognize her because they never caught her. You know, instead of just stopping the video, you know what I mean?
Right. I do. Evidence. I do. Robert, thank you. You know where I can understand? Look, I'm not saying that there should be no limits. For instance, if you had an instruction manual on YouTube, for instance, or any of these platforms, that was a video, a step-by-step video on how to make a homemade bomb, how to make a pipe bomb. Absolutely, that should not be prohibited. That should not be permitted. But for an incident that's already happened where the crime victim wants it up and where he thinks there's some value in people seeing it, I think they should be able to leave it up. 800-848-9222. David in the Bronx, what do you think?
Yes, good morning, Frank.
Morning.
All right, I wouldn't necessarily disagree with you, except for the fact that Elon Musk has been very inconsistent with his free speech principles.
Mm.
I'm sure, or maybe you don't recall, he suppressed free speech of political opponents in Turkey and India, and he's done in other places as well. So he's not all free speech. And this notion that this isn't harmful, I take great issue with. The type of person that would seek out video of people being beheaded, and I'm not casting aspersions on your previous caller, but Jim, the type of people that seek this stuff out, like animals being stomped on and stuff like that, these are not the type of people whose behavior should be encouraged by them having the ability to see what they like whenever they wish. And I would liken it to, you know, people sometimes tape or record gang rapes and things like that. I don't think that should be seen. Someone can make an argument, well, if people could see what a gang rape is like, they might be less likely to participate in it. That's not a legitimate reason to show something like that. I don't see any social value at all with showing someone being stabbed. I'm glad the guy survived, but what if he didn't? That is the problem. There are young men out there of Middle Eastern extraction, Islamic or what have you, who will see that and be encouraged by it. And Elon Musk doesn't seem to be worried about that, which is very strange.
You know, David, you make a good point. What about, though, just giving people the freedom to choose for themselves? Right? Why censor just because some behavior may trigger them? I mean, you heard the one caller calling about violent video games and violent TV shows. You know, the person that shot President Reagan, John Hinckley, has indicated that one of his motivations in doing so was a taxi driver. You know, there was the film The Basketball Diaries, which supposedly was an inspiration for at least one school shooting. I think it might have been the Columbine shooting. There are fictional portrayals that have influenced people to do bad things before. I mean, we're not going to ban those, are we? Why ban real life stuff?
Well, Frank, what you just described is covered by the First Amendment, because that's work that someone produced. That's free speech. Showing a crime is not free speech. And when you mentioned the incidents with police beating people up or choking someone, that's not the same thing either, because that is something being done by officials who are paid by citizens. That there is a value in citizens mm-hmm. being able to see that. But some random person who's using, I guess, religious reasons to try to slaughter someone, what is the social value in that? You described it very well, Frank. I mean, even if I had vision, I would have no interest in seeing that. Just hearing it for a few seconds was more than enough for me, and I think it would be more than enough for most people. What is the value in seeing something like that? I wish you could explain that in a way that would make sense.
I don't know that there is value, but if people think there is, then I think they should be able to watch it. I don't think look, most of what's on Twitter, honestly, is total dreck. It's total junk. So I don't know that we're going to make judgments about what to keep on social media based on what the value is. But I just respect people's freedom to choose. David, thank you. We'll continue with your calls in a moment. 800-848-9222. Straight ahead.
The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Thank you.
It's The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
Just War, What Is It Good For? Edwin Starr singing 25 Miles. You know, I think Edward Starr's, I don't know if it's his son or his nephew, performs and does a lot of these great songs. I'm going to see about maybe trying to get him on this program. I'm going to look into that. I'll work on that. A fine song, though, absolutely, and a selection by our Listener of the Week, Joel Ryder. Congratulations to you on the well-deserved and long-overdue honor. Going to get back to your calls in a moment. So yesterday, I went to a wake. A great former New York Supreme Court judge, and I am in. You know, he was really well known and knew a lot of people and was in that community for a long time. So as you might imagine, and I went in the afternoon, which is really the morning for me. I basically rolled out of bed, got dressed, went to the wake. And it was not really close to me, about a half-hour drive. But this is somebody that I was pretty friendly with, so I wanted to be there. So I'm waiting in line because there are a lot of people. And there's a long receiving line to get to the casket, and the family is right near the casket. Different family members are situated around the casket. So if you knew his wife, you could say hello to the wife. If you knew any of his sons, you could say hello to one of his son. And it's the same line, though. It's a long line. And I'm waiting in the line. I'm waiting. And there's a fella in front of me, thin, bald, white. And then I'm waiting in the line to see a couple of people I know. Hi. No one I know really well. Hi. And then fella spots me from across the room who I do know. Very well. Known for a long time, about 25 years. I'm not going to say who it is because I don't want to embarrass him. But he is a super wealthy, very connected politically and economically real estate developer. When I say super wealthy, he's not worth $1 billion. But if I were to guess, I'd say he's worth somewhere between $100 million and $200 million. And you know him because I've known him for years because he's active in the community. He's a big philanthropist, very well connected politically. He's an older guy now. If I'm guessing, I'm saying he's in his 80s. And he reinforces every possible stereotype of being an old, wealthy, curmudgeonly Jewish man. And he sounds exactly as you would expect an old, wealthy, curmudgeonly Jewish man to sound, looks exactly that way, and is that way. And again, this is a friend of mine, and we go back a ways. So he sees me in the line, which is quite lengthy, and, you know, Judge Monaro's widow was taking her time saying hello to everybody and chatting with everyone. A lot of people had memories, so the line was moving very slowly. So he comes over and says hi. And he's making small talk. Oh, how things going on the radio? How's so-and-so? How's so-and-so? Good, but small talk. And he points to the guy that's standing in front of me, the slender, bald, white gentleman. And he says, I know that guy. Who is he? And I said, you know, I think I know that guy too. but I don't know who it is. Now, as I'm saying it, I can't tell if I know him or if all the old, not older, but thin, bald, white men of a certain age all look the same. I said, I think I know him too, but I don't know. And then we're standing in line behind this guy that this fella believes that he knows. We'll call him Mike. That's not his name, but this fella that Mike seems to know. And we're continuing to make small talk. And he says, points at him. He says, I beat him on appeal. And I guess, you know, he's a judge or something. I beat him on appeal. Okay. All right. So then the guy that Mike believes that he knows turns around at a moment. And Mike doesn't say hello, doesn't say anything really. He just points at this guy and says, hey, what's your name? And the guy is a little taken aback because I guess he's a judge or something, or at least a well-respected lawyer. And usually people don't just say, hey, what's your name? They'll usually say hi or hello or something a little less abrupt. And he says his name. I don't remember the fellow's name, but it was something like, you know, whatever it was. I don't want, in case I do remember his name accurately, I don't want to say what it is. But he says his name. And he says, I know you. He says, I appeared before you. You ruled against me. And I won on appeal. And this fella says, nope, that wasn't me. And then my guy is not being deterred. He says, no, I'm telling you, I beat you on appeal. I won on appeal. He says, what was the case? And he says, I don't know. It was something to do with an easement. And he says, I don't think it was me. And he says, how long ago? He says, about 25 or 30 years ago. And the other guy says, I don't think it was me. No, wasn't me. He says, I'm telling you, it's not you. There are not that many bald, he didn't use the word bald, thin, tall guys with your hair situation. That's what he says. And he says, I really don't think it was me. What was I, an arbitrator? And he says, yeah, I think you were the arbitrator. And you ruled against us, but we won on appeal. He says, you don't remember? How often do you lose on appeal? I want you to keep in mind, we're in a funeral parlor, okay? We're 4 feet away from a dead body. We're 6 feet away from a grieving widow. And they are having, at this point, an all-out argument about whether or not this guy was, I don't know what, either the judge or the arbitrator in this case. And for the life of me, this is the first time I've ever thought. Now, I'm standing in between the two of them. This is the first time I've ever thought about doing this. My phone is ringing like crazy. It's on vibrate. It's buzzing like crazy. This is the only time in my life that I ever thought, should I answer this phone call so that I can exit from this incredibly uncomfortable situation? I'm worried this 85-year-old is going to get into a fist fight with this arbitrator or judge that ruled against them 30 years ago. And then I look at who's calling, and of course it's Curtis Sliwa, who I had just spoken to 5 minutes before, and I'm saying, no, I'll take my chances of getting in the midst of this fist fight instead of talking to Curtis. So they're just going at it. This guy's insisting it's not him. Mike is saying, no, it was you. How often do you get ruled on appeal? Well, that'll show you. We got it anyway. And I'm trying to add a little levity to the situation. I say to the bald guy, I say, well, that'll show you. And I guess his wife or his girlfriend or whomever he was with, the lady standing next to him, said, yep, that'll show him. And that's not good enough for Mike. Like, that should have been the end of it. But Mike keeps going. He says, the lawyer was, I don't want to say his real name. The lawyer was, Henley. And he says, John Henley? Yeah, John Henley. That was my lawyer. And then the bald guy just turns around, and you could tell he's thinking, oh, my goodness, I didn't ask for this today. So Mike, the guy, this is now going on for a while, this whole situation, and getting more uncomfortable by the second. And Mike just says to me, all right, I was here. I was here, and I'm leaving. And he didn't say hello to the wife, didn't say hello to the family. I don't think he signed the book. He literally came in, saw me, made 3 minutes of small talk, gets into an argument with this other lawyer, and walks out. It was wild. Wild. I'm used to seeing that at maybe Irish wakes, this was crazy. I couldn't see it. I've not seen anything like this. So anyway, I walk out. I call Curtis back because, of course, not only do I have two or three missed calls, but I have a text message. Hey, call me right away, Frank. I call him back, and it's just a continuation of the last phone call that we had when he's reliant upon my election advice. See, it's amazing. It's amazing. When he wants to act like a big shot on the radio, I'm Mama Luke this, I'm that, I'm this, I'm that. But all of a sudden, he and the candidates that he's supporting need a little help. And who's the one person he knows he could call for free election advice that actually knows what he's talking about? Of course, he's calling me. And then he says, yeah, the only thing I need is the number for so-and-so. I said, Curtis, I sent you this number at 3:30 while I was on the phone with you, and you asked me for it, and I said, I'm going to send you this number right now. I sent it at 3:30. Let me look. I don't have it. Can you send it again? Yes. Here it is again. Okay. So that was that. That was my adventure at the wake. It was very, you know, I always get a kick out of these wakes when, and maybe that's the wrong word, but it's true. I like when they have floral displays in interesting patterns. Like if someone was a Marine, when my friend Lou Ween died, he was a Marine. They had the Marine Corps emblem in floral form. I thought that was really neat. My friend Mike Long, when he died, he was the manager of a liquor store and an ice cream parlor, and it was the most creative thing I'd ever seen. They recreated in floral form the flowers, the signs of those shops that he owned. And then yesterday, Judge Minardo was a Met fan. So they recreated the whole Met logo in flowers. And I have to tell you, I really enjoy that. I don't know why, but it for some reason, it makes it a little more personal. I think that's the best way to describe it. What I didn't like is I was expecting that there would be pictures all over the place. And, you know, I'd be able to, while I was in line, not knowing I was going to be interceding between this dispute that they were having, I thought I'd be able to look to the right and see some pictures from this portion of his life, pictures from another portion of his life, you know, different photo boards. They didn't have that. And I was getting ready to be totally disappointed. And then as I'm leaving, I see they have a photo, they have a monitor, and they have all the pictures running on a monitor. Which is okay, but they only had, at least that I saw, they only had one monitor in one section. I wish there were photos at more strategic places so that people, wherever they're congregating, could see the photos. But there was that. You know, it's funny. Speaking of videos, I've been doing these Facebook videos, and you can find me on Facebook, facebook.com/MoranoFan. And I've been doing these YouTube videos. You find me on YouTube at Morano Vision. And yesterday, I was doing one of these videos last night before I came in, and I'm talking for about 10 minutes. Really great stuff. I mean, really just funny, insightful, informative, really interesting, promoting what we're doing, really interesting content. And I finally look at all the comments. There's no sound. I'm talking to myself for 10 minutes straight with no sound. Then I recreate a second video. Same thing, no sound. And then I gave up on doing it from my computer. Then I instead used my phone, which I don't like to do because I can do less with it. And it shoots me at a weird angle, makes me look even heavier than I am. Finally, the third time was the charm. But I ended up repeating a lot of the same stuff I said. And it's never quite as fresh. Not quite as fresh. I've told you about the time that I was on the TV show Cash Cab, and I was on there with Jeffrey Lichtman, actually. Jeffrey, my friend May, and my friend Ann, we get in this cab, I've told the story before, but I'm not going to tell it again now. And it starts going off, bells and whistles like crazy. Bah, 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 bah. My friend May is flipping out. She's always watching this show. I never heard of this show. Jeffrey doesn't even know what's going on. And it was very funny, a very funny natural reaction. But they had a problem with their microphones, and they said, we need you to do it again. So they had us do the whole thing again, But the second time, no one was excited. It was so rehearsed because the natural reaction was the first one. So that's kind of the way I felt with the video that I posted on the Facebook yesterday. You can check it out. Let me know what you think. Facebook.com/MoranoFan. Meantime, 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. Let me begin with Larry in Brooklyn. Hi, Larry.
Yeah, hi, Frank. You had said something about films being overrated in terms of sex, but not in terms of violence. I have a story that challenges that. 50 years ago, I was with a friend of mine. We decided we were going to see The French Connection, famous movie with Gene Hackman. So we went on a line, and we both convinced adults to take us in, and we didn't even sit together. We were so desperate to see the movie. Anyway, during the course of the movie, I'm like waiting for the sex scenes, and they're not coming. I'm saying, there's no sex. What's going on? At the end of the movie, I'm asking, why was this rated R? And somebody explained to me, it was because of the violence. I said, violence? It was just Gene Hackman shooting at people as a detective. And see, back then, Frank, we had something called community standards. Mm. Okay, today they've been abrogated, but apparently in Australia they still have them. So I'm saying, just because people still have community standards, you can imagine what maybe society 50 years ago was a long time. Maybe we were in much better shape than we are today, not seeing all that violence and sex, and maybe Australia is hearkening back to the days of those community standards. And why should we, because we've been so jaded and tarnished, why should we in that jaded state be in a position to judge whether their community standards deserve to be violated? And I'm in favor of taking it down because of that.
Well, look, Larry, you make a compelling case, aside from the French Connection anecdote, which was interesting, but I don't think necessarily relevant here. You make a compelling case, right? I mean, these are the rules in Australia. They don't have a First Amendment. I understand exactly what you're saying. I just don't agree with it. I think that the freedom to consume the kind of media you want, the freedom to post what kind of media you want, except in very extreme circumstances, especially here where the victim of the crime is saying he wants it up there, I think you should leave it up. And your option is not to watch it. That's where I think it goes. Shannon in Las Vegas listening on K-Dawn. Shannon, what do you think?
Hey, Frank, like your show. Love your show, actually.
Thank you.
So yeah, I believe you need to have it up there because it's evidence. You want to prove or disprove a statement or propaganda or lies. For example, like the Hamas 40 babies and the cutting babies out of the womb and the raping women. Without the videos, we wouldn't have known that they were lying. You know what I'm saying? It's like, that's why we need that stuff. Because if we don't have that stuff, we'll be led down a road of, oh, yeah, we believe you. And then we, you know what I'm saying? We find out that they're lying, and it's like, oh, my God, you've been lying to us? You know, it's like, that's why it's there.
Yeah, so in essence, you're saying that anybody could make up their own story of what happened at the stabbing, and some people might give it credibility if you can't just say, oh, come on, just go to the video, you could see what I'm talking about.
Well, like some people, there was a story about that kid being Jewish, but he wasn't.
Which kid?
You know, that was proven with the video.
Which kid?
The kid in the Australian stabber.
The stabber. I see. Okay. Gotcha. Yeah. Right. Well, Shannon, thank you. 800-848-9222. Lynn in Maryland. Hi.
Well, it's interesting, following up on your immediately previous caller, as he pointed out, there are so many elements of these stories that are completely fabricated that it's clear the rush now towards censoring and suppressing on social media is a direct reaction to the explosive growth of fakeology and auto-hoaxing on mainstream media. We're calling these events out. And as soon as they release the material, we're pointing out there's CGI inserted here. That's a clear crisis actor. There's a parent who's supposed to have a dead child giggling on camera. That looks like a controlled demolition. We're pointing this stuff out, and they're in a panic.
Well,
it's not going to stop
us. Okay, so
we're going to continue deconstructing fake events.
You know
we're going to do it. You can't stop us.
Lynn, thank you. Lynn's talking about how the World Trade Center wasn't really blown up, and the Sandy Hook children weren't really shot, or there weren't really children. And that's, you know, I think he actually kind of made the point, right? In when you have a lot of these kooky conspiracy theories that are out there, and nothing against Lynn or anybody else, people will believe any number of things. And I think to be able to put it out there and have people examine this for themselves, I think there's a value to it. I do. The more I think about it, and hearing Lynn, and who thinks there was a controlled demolition and the Sandy Hook kids weren't really shot, I think there's even more of a value to showing this kind of documentary evidence in the hopes that maybe it'll help people understand what actually happened. Should there be some deference to the victim here? Yeah. Yeah, there should. And the bishop says he thinks it should be up. All right. 800-848-9222. We'll continue straight ahead.
The Other Side of Midnight. It's The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
Top of the hour. This is The Other Side of Midnight. I'm Frank Moreno. Big shout out to all the folks listening to us over at Talk 1400 WOND. They aired an extra hour of our show last Saturday, which was very nice. My thanks to the program director there, Stuart Abrams, who it was great to see last week when I was down there for Jeffrey Goldstein's bachelor party, and of course to the owner of that great station, Paul Kelly. My favorite was last week, a fella calls up and says, we're just responding to something that I was saying, and says, oh, I don't know who you are, and then he makes his comments. Well, good. I'm glad you're listening anyway, even if you don't know who I am. Even more power to you. 800-848-9222. Hey, oh, speaking of Atlantic City, you know, we told you about the situation involving Marty Small, the mayor, and his wife being arrested for beating their daughter, essentially. Well, the Atlantic City High School principal has been charged with official misconduct and waived his first court appearance. Now, what happened here is the city's high school principal is facing official misconduct charges after failing to report child abuse, and she waived her first court appearance. So she's now scheduled to appear on May 20th for a pre-indictment conference. She's charged with official misconduct, hindering apprehension of another, obstruction of justice, and failure to report child abuse. If you haven't heard about this situation, it's really sad. No matter what the truth is, it's sad. But you had earlier this year, the teenage daughter of the mayor and the superintendent told school officials she was being physically and mentally abused at home. And the claim set off an investigation that saw this principal charged with failing to report the alleged abuse and the Smalls charged with endangering the welfare of the child. So the principal then met with the girl's parents at their home and informed them that the student had told the staff about the abuse. So this principal happened to have headed up the mayor's reelection campaign in 2021. It's not a good look. What looks like what happened here is the daughter did the right thing. She told school officials she was being abused. The school officials do the right thing, report this to authorities, goes all the way up to the chain of command to the principal. The principal says, uh-oh, I better tell the parents instead of telling other appropriate authorities. So we'll see where this goes, but it's not looking good at this point for the principal or the mayor or the superintendent here. Bad all the way around. 800-848-9222. Joaquin, you got 40 seconds here. Make your point.
Geez, Frank, all right, I think that they should leave it up. And I got to tell you, that Australian official sounds like there's something that she doesn't want people to see. And, you know, if people want to see the truth about things, you know, the government should not have the right to decide what you can see and cannot see. And, you know, and as far as even the October 7th attack in Israel goes, there's a lot of people saying that it didn't happen. Well, there's plenty of video evidence for it.
Yeah, thank you, Joaquin. Appreciate that. Sorry, out of time there. All right. In the words of the late, great Bob Grant, your influence counts. Be sure to use it.